Thank you, Nathan. I'm glad he came to me. Amen. Cause these blinded eyes to see. Nathan's a preacher's son, one of our college students. Does a good job, don't he? Appreciate that very much. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Matthew. If I said the Sermon on the Mount, would you know where to find it? Well, I'll help you a little bit. Go to Matthew chapter 6. And I understand the context of the Sermon on the Mount is that before Christ died, it's not the grace age that we're in now in the same exact sense, but every verse in the Bible has some spiritual application to us, and we'll find that. I want you to start with me in about verse 19 of Matthew 6, and we'll read down through about verse 23, and especially last two verses we'll use for our text this morning. I'm going to deal with a subject this morning: what's happened to our greatness. Some of you heard anything about that? Donald Trump says he wants to make America great again. I think we'd all agree with that. I think he hit a chord when he said that with a lot of folks, no doubt about it. I'm not doing a commercial for him for his uncouthness and some other stuff. By the way, I do like his political incorrectness. I do like that quite a bit. Anyway, looking at it here in the text, Matthew chapter 6, pick it up with me in about verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, I'm not preaching on giving. You can let your breath out there. Let's get on down, though. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's what I want to deal with. Verse 22 and 23 a little bit. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And I am going to say a little bit as I get around to it on what happened to the greatness. The text here talks about the eye being single. It's talking about it being true. Talking about it having locked on to the right purpose is what it's speaking about here. And then it talks about basically the evil. You remember in the cartoons when there was some fellow in the cartoon that supposed to have the evil eye? Some of you old folks, come on, help me. I am one, so I know that we remember some things like that. Amen? You know, every now and then somebody will say he's got a roving eye. He's got an evil eye. He's all that business. And we recognize here as the text talks about the eye being evil or being full of darkness. Do you know the eye is about the first source where sin enters into your mind? What you look at? Amen? Now, hopefully we'll look at good things, but... Well, let me prove what I'm saying. Genesis chapter 3, don't go to it, but just listen. How about Mother Eve? What'd she do? She looked at the forbidden tree, and she saw it was what? Pleasant to the eyes. That's where it started, folks, right there. That's where we got in trouble, amen? I think about later on, after Cain and Abel was born, and they got expelled from the garden. You know, Adam and Eve got expelled, and there was a cherubim with a flaming sword keeping them from going back in. And one day Adam was walking by with the little boys, Cain and Abel, and they're looking over in the beauty in the garden, but they couldn't go in because of the flaming sword and the cherubim. And Adam said, you see that tree over there, sons? That's where your mother ate us out of house and home. Now, excuse me, ladies, but there's a little truth to that. The eye, she saw the tree was pleasant to the eyes. And how about King David? Remember what he did over there? He looked when he should have been out at war leading his army. He was looking, wasn't he? And you remember how he got in trouble and committed adultery and even murder with Bathsheba. Later on, he wrote in the 101st Psalm over there, he said, I will set no evil thing before mine eyes. I want to tell you, fellas, if you don't guard your eyes, you'll be in trouble pretty soon. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes that I would not look upon a maid. We live in a day and time when homes are being broken up and all kind of bad things are going, and a big part of it is what first enters into the eye. And you need to be wise about that. I want to talk this morning a little bit about what's happened to our greatness. Now, the fact is, America, and I'm speaking of America in particular, used to be great. Sadly, we're not. There's a time in the greatness we saved the world from the likes of Hitler. We have fed more hungry people than any other nation. The biggest thing we've done is send the gospel around the world, which is the greatest thing we could do for civilization. And America has been great in our beginning. And some of you kids, listen to me. You that are in public school especially, listen to me. You've had Columbus run down to you, and he's got a bad rap in the public school. They want to tell you that Columbus came over here in 1492, and he didn't even come to America, there's a sense of it. He come to the islands down there first. You do know that, don't you? And they said, well, he discovered a paradise, and then the white man has ruined it. That's a bunch of baloney. He discovered tribes enslaving other tribes. Help yourself. Get the truth. He discovered the Incas and others down there doing human sacrifice. You've seen the temples on TV. Indiana Jones, where they're supposed to take the guy up there, the human sacrifice, and cut his heart out. You saw it. Don't lie to me. You saw it. Now listen to me. That was not the whole story. When they offered the human sacrifice at the top of the pyramid, when they killed him, they let him roll down the steps, and the tribes had free meat. They ate him. Cannibalism. So don't let somebody kid you that we come over and run paradise. No, we found the devil had already been here before Columbus ever got here, or before the rest of them did. And that is the evil that I'm talking to you about. And the truth of the matter is that America was great at one time because we brought in some good things. The colonies, when we settled the colonies in Jamestown and all of that business, America was settled by pilgrims that came for free worship God in freedom. They came for God, not for gold. Most discoveries, most of it came because of gold, but America came searching to worship God in freedom and in spirit and in truth. There's a French historian, a philosopher, de Tocqueville. He came over to America after America had been going for 100 years. He wanted to know what the greatness was. And he came over, and when he went back to France, he wrote words like this. He said, I came over to America searching for her greatness. He said, I looked at her rivers and her ports and her fertile fields. And he said, I looked in her mines and at her commerce. He said, I looked at that, but that was not where I found her greatness. He said, I found her greatness when I went into the churches and heard the pulpits aflame with the righteousness of God. And then this Frenchman made this statement. He said, America is great because she's good. And if she ever ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. And that's what I'm talking to you about this morning. What happened to our greatness? To our greatness. God raised America to be a beacon of freedom. Most of us know something about Ellis Island up there in New York, where the people from Europe and all in the early days came through legally, by the way. Anyway, Ellis Island up there where the Statue of Liberty is carved at the base of the Statue of Liberty, it says this, give me your poor and your tired and your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. He says, give me the wretched refuge of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless and the tempest-tossed. Send them to me. He said, I lift my lamp, it says, beside the golden door. You know who wrote that? A Jewish refugee. That's the one that wrote it. But that's what America has been. We've been a refuge. We've been one in our greatness of our day where others could come. We've been a beacon of freedom. And we've been a place where a man could work, earn his way, invest his wages. We call it capitalism, but more than that, it's biblicalism. What I'm saying to you is the Bible said, and Paul said, a man will not work, neither shall he eat. And we're not talking about the handicapped. We're not talking about the sick. We're talking about the lazy, the sorry, if you please. That's what I'm talking about. And the truth is, we've got too much of that going on today. But the idea, and here's two words, you folks that are retirement age, you better fear these two words. I may have given to you before, but here they are, income equality. Income equality. You got at least two candidates running for president right now that wants to take what you've earned and give it to those that won't earn anything. Socialism, next step is communism. One of the quotes recently that I saw was this: we're going to take things away from you on the behalf of the common good. Going to take things away from you on behalf of the common good. That's the theme of communism. But where has it worked? It didn't work in Cuba. It didn't work in Russia. It didn't work in Romania. It's worked nowhere. And the truth of the matter is, our greatness is going down the tubes as we follow a pattern that's worked nowhere else. I'm saying to you, where did the greatness go? It's gone down the tubes as we have deviated and departed from what made us great to start with, and that is the preaching of the righteousness and the biblicalism of God from the pulpits of America. That's where our greatness has gone. Now we can see it's the greatness of America is losing to the darkness. Our eyes full of darkness anymore. Our eyes become evil, covetous. You covet when you look and when you see, and greed has replaced the gospel. The desire of a bunch of pilgrims that came to find a land that was free to worship God has certainly changed. And the whole body, as this text says, if your eye be evil, if your eye brings into darkness, then the whole body is full of darkness. And we look around today and we see that's the ruin. Listen, I remember when the black and white TV come out and the family could sit together and enjoy it. You're embarrassed now if you watch TV with anybody else present. The nudity, the vulgarity, the soreness of it anymore. And you men, listen to me. I may have said it before. Let me try it again. You better watch out for your net, for your computer, for your iPhone, anything that you can bring the porn up. You better guard against that like you'd guard against a rattlesnake. It'll destroy your home. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your wife. It'll destroy your kids. Amen and amen. Right here in Polk County, the sheriff tells me he catches more criminals over cyberspace than any other way. Had to hire more staff because you got the pedophiles, you got the perverts from all over the world trying to come in and over the wire arrange to get with kids and to get in sin. All this perversion that's coming on, right? That's where our greatness is gone. The darkness is sucking it up and taking it away. That's what's happening. Yes, new education now for years has taught us to be tolerant. Tolerate everything but the Bible. Tolerate in school everything but God and prayer. But you see, they move from toleration to promotion. What's being promoted in public education right now? Well, it's been in the news this week. I mean, we're going to have unisex restrooms? They're not happy with that. They want to go in the wrong restroom because their motives are wrong. And you ought to pray for the governors of the states that's trying to fight Texas, North Carolina, these different ones. You ought to pray for them as they try to stand up and fight because you've got the big boss in Washington mandating down. You'll lose your funds if you don't let them mix in the restrooms. You say, well, that's up New York. No, it's in Polk County. Did you see in the ledger yesterday? Did you see where our school board is facing this? A threat of funds being removed if we don't open the restrooms up to the perverts? And that's what they are. I like what one of the men on the school board said. He said, I'm not going to risk the security and the protection of my daughter from some man that wants to be a woman. Thank God for him. But in the same article, one of the public school teachers was speaking up defending. Oh, yeah. See, it's home. It's closer to home than a lot of you think. Let me park here just a minute. If you're a Christian parent and you got kids school age, you ought to do anything you can to put them in a Christian school and to get them out of that cotton-picking atmosphere of the devil out there that is going to take your tax money and abuse the youth and get your kid to start tolerating and then embracing what God has called an abomination. Help yourself. Help yourself. No, you ought to pray for the states and the governors that are taking a stand. No doubt about it. You say, but what about Title IX? My foot. Title IX. Title IX was supposed to allow some stupid girl named Susie to play football with the boys if she wanted to. Had nothing to do with perverts. Had nothing to do with transgender. And to try to claim it does is a perversion of it. I think Susie learned her lesson at the first scrimmage that she got into. I'm going back a ways on that one now. I'm simply saying to you folks, darkness is just gobbling up our greatness. It's just sucking it up like a big vacuum everywhere you look. And it should be no shock because God warned about it, that it would be. You see it? You know, 8 years ago, we didn't think we had a Muslim problem. Do we have one now? Huh? Everywhere you look, somebody wants to throw down a prayer rug or take time out from work to pray five times a day, or to be offended at somebody like me, and I'm doing my best to do some offending. If I can't, it's not because I'm not trying. The Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, up there, has said this week they're going to investigate speech. We're supposed to be America, where we have free speech, right? She's going to investigate to see if our speech is offending Muslims and therefore possibly causing trouble. Well, my First Amendment right says I can. And I want to say to you, there's a, just all of a sudden now they can't serve pork because there might be a Muslim in the prison. Right? I'm not joking with you. All of a sudden they can wear the burkas. You don't know whether there's a man or a woman on that thing. Pup tent. You don't know whether there's a knife or a gun under there. Where did our greatness go? A lot of it just went down the hole of stupid. And America is really, really doing some stuff I never, ever would have believed. Where'd the greatness go? You're seeing it go all around you. The more, as the Frenchman said, we turn from being good, we're going to cease. We turn from God, we're going to cease being good. Righteousness was preached by our forefathers. And how many preachers today are tiptoeing through the tulips afraid they're going to offend somebody? Not here. Not here. I want to switch gears with you just a little bit and say this. Thank God the darkness is not hidden from God. You know, most crime is committed in darkness. Most bad things are done in darkness. Night is the time it's mostly done. But you know, I read over here in Psalms 139, 12, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night is as the shining day. What's it saying? Saying you don't hide it from God. He sees through the darkness. He sees through the propaganda. He sees through the false teaching. He sees the evil. And he was talking about the eye being single and right and good or filled with darkness. And if it's filled with darkness, it fills the whole body. And a nation is being filled up today because we've turned our back on what made us great to start with. Psalms 9:17 said, the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God. Somebody says, America in the Bible? I just read it to you. All nations that forget. Don't say they never knew him. They're forgetting him. That's a big difference. If you don't think that verse is true, check out Sodom and Gomorrah. If you don't think it's true, check out Rome. If you don't think it's true, check out Pompeii. Sex perversion in Pompeii was something before Mount Vesuvius dumped its ashes on them. I'm saying to you today that the darkness is not hidden from God. Now here's the good news. You don't have to be on the dark side. You don't have to participate in it. Jesus is the light of the world, and when you receive him, you get the light, the supernatural light from God that protects you and fortifies you and allows you to do right in a dark time. Yeah, you can choose sides. The Bible says in John 3:19, men love what? Darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. If you don't love God, check your motive. If you don't love right and righteousness, check your motive. What is it you love in place of that? Are your deeds evil? That's what the verse said. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's what Jesus said. He's the one who said that. I want to say to you today, you can choose Jesus, and many are. It don't make the evening news, but right now there's probably more souls being saved on planet Earth than at any time in our history. They're being saved in China. They're being saved in Asia. And they're even being saved in the Muslim world, when you can get the people away from having their heads chopped off by turning their back on Islam. Many are coming to Jesus. The only thing that's keeping him from coming back is his long suffering to see more saved. And more are being saved. They are being saved. Thank God that is true. You see, the Bible says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. America founded on the truth, promoted the truth, stood for the truth for a long time. And as we've turned our back on the truth, on the Lord Jesus, on the truth of God's word, the more our greatness has faded away. And for some of us, it's a little older. Young people, listen to me. It is hard for me, for instance, to fathom the difference in the morality of the community I grew up in compared to where it is now. It is daylight and dark. It is obvious light of day compared to the darkness of night. It is. Yet the good truth is, in the midst of the darkness, you can come to Jesus, you can walk in the light, you can have fellowship one with another, and his blood, the Bible says, will cleanse you from all sin. I'd like to see our country turn around. I don't think the politicians can do it. I'll vote for the lesser evil every time. But at the same time, I'm looking to Jesus, and I'm going to stand for him. If it means going to jail before he comes, then he'd rapture me out of the jailhouse just as easy as he can out of this pulpit. If that's what it takes, that's what I'll do. Meantime, I'm not going to let my eye get full of darkness. I'm going to stand for what's right. For the sake of the kids I've pastored, for grandkids, and all the rest of them, I'm going to stand on the right side. I hope you will. Amen. You know, the prophets predicted the darkness of our day. Joel chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 34, and so many places said the day of the Lord would come with darkness. Some years ago in the late 40s, they found over in some caves off of the mountains around the Dead Sea, they found what is commonly called in writings the Dead Sea Scrolls. I've seen facsimiles of them over in Israel, the Dead Sea Scrolls. And one of those scrolls, it contains the prophecy of the future where the children of light will fight the children of darkness. And it will finally culminate into what you and I know the Bible teaches as Armageddon, when Jesus comes back and takes care of the nations of the world and sets up his kingdom. That's what it'll finally culminate in. But there in that Dead Sea Scroll, it talks about the conflict between the children of light and the children of darkness. And I want to say to you, we're in that conflict right now. It has not reached its zenith, but it will reach it. In the meantime, which side are you on? Which group do you fit in? What would your neighbors say? Your kinfolks? Your acquaintances? Which side are you on? People know. People know. There'll be a literal day of darkness come. Back on May 19th, 1780, here in America, there was a day of darkness that come by surprise, supernaturally. Mid-morning, all of a sudden, the skies got dark. Chickens went to roost. Stars came out where they could see them. This is a fact. I didn't invent it. You can read it. They have not yet explained what happened. Congress was in session. And people began to cry and think the end of the world had come, and they were out in the streets hollering, and people were repenting, and they were screaming for God to forgive them. It was a fearful time. It really happened. It was a day, May 19th, 1780. Well, the congressman got up, and back then, most of your congressmen were saved Christians. And he got up and he said, "Do we want to dismiss and try to get home to our families?" And another congressman stood up and he said, "This well may be the day of judgment. It well may be the end of the world. I think God would be just as pleased if we stay faithful at our job." And again, I forget how long it lasted, but a long time. They haven't explained it yet. There will be a day of darkness coming, literal day. When the Bible says in Revelation 6, they'll fall down and cry for the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits upon the throne. That day's coming. The day's coming. The Bible says it is. Darkness came at the cross when Christ was crucified, didn't it? Some of you know, you've seen the movies on TV and they got a big dark cloud and rain. No, the Bible don't say anything about it raining. Darkness came. Supernatural darkness came. And it was dark spiritually. Here was the one the disciples thought that was going to be their king, and he's dead. The Romans said he's dead, and the disciples said he's dead, and the women around the cross said he's dead. They took him down and they put him in Joseph's tomb. It was a dark day. The Savior, the Messiah, their king, was dead. It was a time of darkness. But I got news for you. 3 days later, the sun rose. The S-O-N sun rose, brother. I mean, he came out and it was light. And this darkness is going to pass. And Jesus is going to shine. And he is coming back. And he is going to take charge. And the greatness is going to return to old planet Earth. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yes, there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Which side are you on? Ever trusted him as Savior? Ever realized he died for my sins and I've got to say yes or no to the sacrifice he made for me? I got to say no, I won't accept you. I won't accept what you've done for me, or I will. How many times have you come to church and heard a preacher tell you there's no fence to straddle? You either for him or you against him? You say yes or you say no to him? How many times have you heard that? How many times have you said no? How good is God to let you hear again and have the opportunity again? It's a great moment when you can come and hear the good news that God loved you and gave his son to die on the cross for you. That's a great time. It'd be a greatest time in your life to receive him as Savior. What America needs for the greatness to return is for God's people, like the old French historian said, to be aflame with righteousness. And America was great because she was good. Our greatness, humanly speaking, is only going to be when we become good again. Now, we'll become good when Jesus comes. In the meantime, you have a personal part in that. You have a personal vote. You have a personal choice. Have you received him? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? The day of darkness is coming for those that reject him, I guarantee you. Please, don't be caught in that crowd. You do have the opportunity to be on the side of the children of light and not the children of darkness. Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, we get so disturbed at the evil we see growing.